Okay, good morning. We are Hilchos Megillah. We are in Taf Resh Tzadi Bet. Okay, just before we continue, just a quick follow-up. Most of the Megillahs nowadays are 21 lines when you buy them. That's what I've been told by numerous sofrim. They're 21 lines. And the Gilyon on the top and on the bottom, so how big does the Gilyon need to be? So we mentioned three or four is how it is by a Sefer Torah. Three or four etzba'ot, three on the top, four on the bottom. That would make it 6 and 8 centimeters. The standard, that would be the minimum of Chayim Na'ashir. We normally consider the minimum. Right, that's if you're basting the etzba'ot on the width of the thumb, which is pashtus, what's normally done. By Chumashim and Nevi'im, so the Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed. So it says over there, for Chumashim and Nevi'im, what is the shear? It's two etzbot on top and three on the bottom. That would make it the bare minimum for Chumash and Navi, is to be at least four on the top, 4 centimeters, and 6 centimeters on the bottom. Well, I'm going to look around this year, but from what I've been told and from what I've seen so far, that's rare. You will usually not have the margins, the gilyon, the same as the Sefer Torah. That's very rare. And even according to the Chumashim and Nevi'im, so it's borderline. Some will just make it, and some will not. I believe most of them do not make it, even according to the Chumashim and the Nevi'im. And however, there is an opinion, not the Pashtus Lechatchila according to the Shulchan Aruch, but there is a legit opinion that says it could be, it is discussed. Also, if you see the wording in the Gemara, it's a little questionable. It could be that the width for the Gilyon is not based on the thumb, but it's based on, let's say, the last two fingers, the pinky and the ring finger, right? I think in Hebrew it's called the Zeret and the Kemitza. So those are the, and then it would be less. According to Rav Chaim Na, so he writes, one would be about 1.3, and one would be about 1.5, maybe a bit less, centimeters. So in total, you're looking at about 2.8 centimeters on the top and 4.2 centimeters on the bottom. And that, some of them do make it. So it really depends on. So it's borderline if your scroll is going to be according to these amounts. So just, but again, remember, this is all just mitzvah min ha-muvchar, and it's even for a Sefer Torah. And we learned that it's only Rabbeinu Tam and some others that say a Megillah for everything is supposed to be like a Sefer Torah. So it comes out, even for a Mehudar scroll, you do not need to have the same Gilyon as a Sefer Torah. And it comes out, and if you need to have one like the Chumashim and the Nevi'im, well, obviously one would call that more Mehudar, it would be better. Obviously, even like a Sefer Torah. But it's not like, it's like many Hidurim in Halacha, in particular with Stam, you'll see a lot of Hidurim, or some things are important, some things are less important, and then they're just, a lot of them are just Hidurim and beyond what's even Lechatchila, and which is obviously beyond Bidyevit, and some things are worth paying for more, and some things are not necessarily worth paying more for. But they're all Lechatchila. As long as you have a margin, decent margin, so it looks normal, and then that would already be Lechatchila. Okay, just because that's how most of them are, so it's just good to be aware. Okay, we are on Taf Resh Tzadi Bet. Ein lasuach be'ot shekorin ota. One should not have conversations and speak to their friends during Megillah, during the Megillah reading. Now this is even, as a matter of if you're the reader, the chazan, or you're the person listening. You're all coming to listen to the Megillah, to be Yotzei, the Kriyas Megillah, and you should not be having conversations, even sharing Divrei Torah that's unrelated to the Megillah. We previously learned that if it's Divrei Torah regarding the Megillah, So it might be mutter lechadchila, might be not the best practice, but it's not aser. But other conversation, even divrei Torah lechadchila, we say that's aser. But b'dieved, of course, you're going to be yotze even if you hear it all day long. That we learned before also. Okay. Now this is talking about during the kriya. What about making a break between the brachos, speaking even about divrei Torah, about brachos, and the actual beginning of reading, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh? So then, if you speak over there, if it's for the purpose of the Megillah reading, that's fine. If it's not for the purpose of Megillah reading, you call that a hefsek, and you lose out the brachos. You're still yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, but it's as if you didn't say the brachos. Okay, that's that. And then it's also just in the same thing by Hilchos, like Berchos Kriyat Shema or Kriyat Shema for making for Beina Prakim. If someone comes over to you to say Shalom to you in the middle of the Megillah, or you see a Melech, or just somebody who's more Mechubad for you, so the same halachas over there apply over here. That it might be okay to answer, you know, whatever. You wouldn't say Good Shabbos, you would say whatever, Purim Sameach, whatever you say, or hi, it would be. It would be mutar as well. The same malachos there apply over here. Okay. And regarding, in the did we say this? Yeah. And then also the last bracha. Now most poskim point out that the last bracha at the end is a din of a birchas of hoda'a. It's not a birchas of a mitzvah. So since if it's a bracha of a mitzvah, like the brachos get the category beforehand, especially the first one. If you make a hafsik, then it's as if you didn't say that bracha. But by the berachas shavach or hoda at the end, you're not allowed to speak when you finish reading the Megillah until you say the bracha at the end, that long bracha, haravet rivenu. But if you did speak, then it's not an absolute hafsik. You can still say that bracha afterwards. Obviously, it should be close to it as soon as possible. But b'dieved, you can still say that bracha even if one spoke a little bit. And there's, I don't know, perhaps, what's the latest? I don't know. The Megillah maybe still has to be there in front of you. I'm not sure. Once you put away the Megillah and you're completely all starting walking away, then maybe that's the latest. Good question. Okay. Let's read Gimel. Alfa pishi yatza kvar mevarech lehotzi et acher yedei chovato. Okay, once a person is already yotzei the mitzvah, you're allowed to be motzi anybody else with the brachos. You're allowed to say the brachos too. Right? We do this by kiddush. A person by kiddush, and then of a revus, you can say kiddush all day long. You can say it 100 times for somebody else, even a very pre-geffen, because it's for the mitzvah of kiddush, even though you already yotzei. So too here, by Megillah reading, you can read it for the first reading with the bracha, and then you can be the same shaliach tzibor for the next Megillah reading to be motzi other people. And every time, you can still say the bracha yourself for everybody else, even though you already were yotzei beforehand. And that is clearly the minhag in Klal Yisrael to do that. It's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, it's brought down in Chazon Ovadia, that's 100% lechatchila. However, some do point out, in particular, Piskei Tshuvas mentions, a few Rabbanim, who say it's better, I think he writes, for him the minhag is, it's better that if you are already yotzei, to get someone, another man, who wasn't already yotzei, who's listening, to let him say the brachos for everybody else. Now what if you're reading it just for women? So again, it's the same thing, you're allowed to say the bracha for them. Some say it's better to have the women say it, but again, the same concept. But if you're being motzi only for ladies, so then again, it's a three-way machlokas if you continue with the same nusach of the bracha, al mikra Megillah, or do you change it to Lishmoa Megillah? That's what's mentioned in Mishnah Berurah. But the Aruch HaShulchan says Lishmoa Mikra Megillah. Anyway, so the Aruch HaShulchan and some point out, if you're going to do a second reading only for ladies, then it's better for the Lechatchila that the one who's reading ideally should not have been Yotzei, or he gets another man who is not Yotzei yet. And this way, it says Zachorma Yirmachmer, according to all opinions, to which bracha to make, and to that you have to say a bracha, and who says the bracha, v'chulei. But again, the minhag is, he's allowed to say Even if you are already Yotze, you are allowed to say a bracha. The reader himself, for any for men or women. Okay. Dalit. Mishahu anus ktsat ve'ena yachol leilech lebeit ha'kneset v'tzarech lahamtin ad achar shekaru akahal. Let's say a person is not able to go to shul. It's too difficult, he's sick, whatever. Can't get there. And he's only going to go to a second reading. So it can be 2 hours after Shkia, whatever the Metzias is, an hour or 2 hours, whatever it is. He's going to have, and normally when this Purim, the night reading, is after a day of fast. So he's fasting all day. He or she is fasting all day and getting ready to hear the Megillah at night. And they can't hear it right. They're hungry. They can't eat it right away. They can't hear it right away. They have to wait for the second reading for whatever the reason. You have a baby to watch. There's all kinds of reasons. So you're waiting for the second reading. And it's hard to sit in a tainus, very hard. So there's two eitzes given. The first one is given by the Shulchan Aruch, which most of the poskim go to town and they say this is not lamaisa, we don't do it with the Mishnah. But we have the Aruch HaShulchan and others, they write, Miyameinu lo shamanu mishi asekein. What is the Shulchan Aruch? We never even heard of such a concept that somebody would even dare do such a thing. What does the Shulchan Aruch say to do, lechatchila, for such a person? Yachol yishmoa kriyatami ba'od yom yiplaga mencho lamala. During Tainus Esther, while the sun is out, before Shkia, an hour before Shkia, you read Megillah. It's because the main reading is going to be with everybody in the shul. So you have to get the, you have to chop the shaliach tzibur either before or after. Well, after you're starving, you're fasting. Because really you're not supposed to eat until after you read the Megillah. So you, what do? You chop the shaliach tzibur. You know, there's time for at least 2-3 readings before the main reading. He can go to 2-3 houses, whatever it is. And he reads it before Plaga Mincha, so that as soon as the sun sets, right after the earlier tzeis, you can go ahead and eat. Okay, Hagah. Aval asur lechol. Well, I think I basically, but anyways, the poskim say it's better not to do that. It's better to eat something. If you can't wait, and it's difficult, we're going to read in a second. All the poskim say, both Ashkenazim and Sfardim, it's better to eat something than to do it before Megillah reading, before sunset. Because then it's even some say it's a shaila if you're even yotzei at all. And to eat a little bit, we're not talking about a whole seuda, but to eat a little bit is not such a problem. Haga, aval asur lechol kodem shishma kriyat ha-Megillah. And again, the Ramah also says, and you're not allowed to eat before reading Megillah. Afilu atainit kashe'alav, even if your tainus is hard on you. So first of all, hard on you means you're a healthy person, but it's difficult for you. If you're sick, then everyone writes, or it's going to make you sick if you keep on fasting. Everyone writes, of course, you're allowed to eat before Megillah reading. Also, the poskim point out, this is also pretty well accepted, that again, but this is a whole little topic we'll leave out, but can you eat a little bit? So the poskim, the Magen Avraham, I believe it's the others. Anyways, say that eating a meal is what's aser, but just to taste that's 100% mutter. Te'ima is mutter. It's achila that's aser. And what is te'ima? So it's if you're going to eat a kabet. I'll just read the words of the Mishnah Berurah: kabetzat pat. If you're going to have a beitza size, kind of the size of an egg, and if you're going to have a piece of cake or bread that size, that's okay. But anything more than that is a problem.
What's the reason?
Chazal just wants you to focus on the mitzvah and to get it done, and not, you know, once you start having if there was no they made an isser of achila, so that you don't start whining and dining and having bread and having wine, and then before you know it, it's 2 hours later and you fall asleep and the mitzvah's over. So therefore, they did this. They said this by numerous mitzvahs. They say you're not allowed to eat until you do the mitzvah. In fact, with the holidays, we did see or will see, depending where you're holding, but by like shofar or other places, it's also a similar concept. That, I don't remember if we said that by Bedikas Chametz, but I believe we did, that you're not supposed to have a meal before. So again, it's the same concept. Okay. All right, I think we will continue. Okay. So, let's go to the next one. Taf Resh Tzadi Gimel. Seder Tfilas Purim. All right, the Tfilas of Purim. Aleph. Achar Kriyas HaMegillah Be'arvis Omer Ve'ata Kadosh. So everyone has the custom after Marav, we say Ve'ata Kadosh. Ve'im Chal Motzei Shabbos Omer Vayhi Noam Kodem Ve'ata Kadosh. And if it's Motzei Shabbos, so then you say Vihi Noam, and then you say Ve'ata Kadosh. And Hagav Ve'omrim Vitein Lecha. And for those who say Vitein Lecha, that's the time to say it. And then Ve'korin HaMegillah Ve'achar Kach Mavdilim. So what's the order? So then after all the tefillahs, then you say Megillah, and then you do Havdalah. There's no need to do Havdalah before because everyone is theoretically fasting. Obviously, if it's Motzei Shabbos and you're breaking your fast and you're going to have a te'ima beforehand, then, again, which is mutter, then you do Havdalah beforehand, if it's Motzei Shabbos. Okay, bet. Omer al anisim b'layla u'bayom. So the halacha is we say al anisim, both day and night. And only, I think the Rama is going to say it, right? We say it in benching and we say it in Shemona Esrei. Hagav, im lo amro, ein machzirin oto. If you leave it out by mistake, you don't go back. So many say it's nice, if you forget it completely, it's nice to say at the end. Let's say you forget about it completely in its proper spot. So many say it's nice to include it. We learned this also by Hanukkah, that it's nice to include it in the end, in the harachamans of benching, if that's when you remember, or after Yulah Ratzon, after Shemona Esrei. So that's not a hefsek in the brachos in the wrong spot. Once all the brachos are over and you're just saying Divrei Tanchumin, you can add it there. Ve'ein omrim al anisim rak b'yom yudalid, aval lo b'tedvav. So if you live in a normal city, outside of a walled city, then you only say it on yudalid. If you're in a walled city, which is Yerushalayim, then you would only say it on Tetvav. And if you're in a Suffolk city, if you don't know if it was walled or not in the times of Yeshua, so then you do say it on both days. Right? But if, again, you miss it by mistake, you don't have to go, you certainly don't repeat the bracha. You don't repeat benching or Shemona Esrei. Ubelel Yud, yeah. There is a machlokas if you do repeat it, actually, for benching, for the suda, because some say you have to have bread and some say you don't have to have bread. But I think that's the general accepted opinion is you don't repeat. Okay. Ve'ein omrim al anis. We read that. U'beleil yudalit afapi shilokaru amegila adayin. Omer al anisim etfilas arvis. And of course, once the 14th day starts, Purim starts, then you say Al Anisim right away. Starting with Ma'ariv. Even though you didn't, the holiday is not dependent on reading the Megillah. Even if you don't have a Megillah to read, or you're going to read it in an hour from now, you still are going to say Al Anisim on that Purim. You don't need the Megillah to say Al Purim. To say Al Anisim. Okay. And there's many of the men like not to take off your tefillin in the morning until after hearing the Megillah. One of the main reasons is because it's a mitzvah to wear a tefillin as long as you can keep your body clean. So, of course, why not keep it on? Also, they point out that it says so in the Megillah. Le'ehudim haita ora simcha sason vikar. And there's a chazal that say vikar refers to tefillin. Right. Or again, drashos on that whole pasuk, but really, pipashtos, what is that pasuk teaching you? It's teaching you that all the emotions or the spirit and the ruchnius that we have from those four things in Chazal, that's what the Jews felt on that day. So it doesn't mean they ran around holding their wearing their tefillin necessarily, but it means that they got their yakar, they got their glory back. Just like the tefillin represents glory, so too they got glory on those days. And the same thing by all those four things. Okay. Gimel. Ein korim bo halal ve'inofen al panim. We do not say halal on, we all know this, on Purim, we don't say halal. Ve'inofen al panim, and we don't say tachanun, right? Tachanun, it's a happy day, not a sad day. Now, what about halal? So there's the Gemara has three reasons why we don't say halal on Purim. So one of them is because the whole story took place not in Eretz Yisrael. We only say halal on holidays that take place in Eretz Yisrael or revolving around Eretz Yisrael. And right, the holidays in the Midbar, it's because we were traveling to Eretz Yisrael. We're on the way. It's revolt. And in the time of Purim, the holiday was not about moving to Eretz Yisrael. It was about living and surviving in Galus. Okay, so that's the first reason. Second reason is we have Kriyasa Megillah. So Kriyasa Megillah is instead of Halal. Right? Chazal wanted us to say one or the other, but they didn't want us or need us to say both. Third reason is because even after the story happened, we were not completely free. It was not a complete Yeshua. We were still the slaves or subservient to Ahasuerus, the Melech of Ahasuerus. It wasn't a Jewish kingdom. It was a Goyish kingdom. Nafka Mina could be as if you don't have a Megillah. With the 1 year you're traveling and you don't have a Megillah, and you're not Rabbi Meir who knows it by heart and can just write two, in an hour or two, just have it all done. There's an opinion that's one of the, based on what the reasons of the Gemara, according to one of the opinions, then you would, if you don't have a Megillah, you would say halal. So again, that's not the halacha, but some poskim say, if you don't have a Megillah, number one, read it from a Chumash, we learned that. Number two, some say, also, you could say halal. It would be nice to say halal without a bracha. Okay. Ve'ein omrim la'matzeach ve'el kerach apayim, and we don't say these things that are related to tsa'ar, pain, suffering, or sadness. Okay. We all focus on the day of simcha. Okay. And la'matzeach has the word tsa'ar v'chulei. Dalet. Motzi'in sefer Torah v'korin parshav Yavua Malek. On Purim, we take out a sefer Torah. And we read, right? I read from the Parsha of Yavoa Amalek. This is in the end of Parshas Bishalach, if I have it correct. It's in the middle of Shmos, Sefer Shmos. V'alfal pi she'ein ba'elet tish'a psukim. Now that's the only reading, right? And but when you count the psukim, there's only nine. And we know that there's a halacha. We never have an aliyah, a reading, right, during the week, less than 10 psukim. We never open up a Sefer Torah and read for less than 10 psukim. Always the minimum aliyah is 3. That's 3 times 3 is 9. But the bare minimum for an altogether means one of them must read at least 4 psukim. That's the halacha, we all know that. So what does the Shulchan Aruch say? V'koflin pasuk achron k'di lahashlim ma'asara psukim. You read the last pasuk twice. That's the minhag of the Sfardim. Hagah, v'hena minhag lichpo pasuk achron shel har parsha. But the Ramah says, no, the minhag is not to read, not to double the last pasuk. Right? We see from the Gemara Megillah in the third parrot that we never really we never want to repeat psukim unless we need to. When we need to, we do. So that's what the Sfardim do. Here, the Ramah says, listen, we have each aliyah got its minimum 3. Now it's true we never want to have less than 10 psukim. But that's when you're able to read 10 psukim. Here, this is a complete parsha all by itself of 9 psukim. You can't just read one before or one after. It won't work. Then you have to read 3 more psukim, and it's not part of the same inyan b'chlal. So therefore, when there's no choice, then we do let you have a minimum of 9. And that's the minhag of Ashkenazim. V'korin ha-Megillah v'achar kach Seder Kedusha. And then after laning, we read the Megillah, and then we read Kedusha v'al etzion v'chulei. Hagah. Now, what if there's a bris milah to do that day? So the Rama says to do bris milah before Kriyas HaMegillah. And Mishnah Berurah points out that some say you do Kriyas HaMegillah only after all the tefillah. Kriyas HaMegillah v'chen. Oh, wait a second. Yeah, pri chadash kata diyaktim Kriyas HaMegillah. Right, so that's the opinion of... right, so that's the opposite of the Rama. The Rama says, what do you do first? First you do Mila, and then you do Kriyasa Megillah. Mishnah Berurah points out that the Pri Chadash and the Gra says, no, to do the opposite, you save the Mila for the end of Tefillah. And that's the Minhag by Sfardim. And by Ashkenazim, I'm not sure. Probably have different Minhagim. And again, like, one of the reasons of doing... making sure you had the Mila first is from that pasuk. You can use that pasuk either way, but it says La'yudim ha'ita arav v'simcha v'sason. They had, and sason, Chazal say, refers to Mila, the joy of Mila. But it's part of the remez, and therefore, when you're celebrating Purim and reading the Megillah, you want to have the Mila done, Mila done first. So that's the reason of the Rama. But all right, talib minhagim.